Thank you all. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You may know my brother. He was with us for probably our first 20 years until his in-laws started aging, and he lives up in the Manassas area. So Vicki Wilcox, her dad passed away this week, so I hope you'll pray. As we were singing that song, From Death to Everlasting Life, I called Vicki. And I said, her dad was a gospel singer, went to many different churches in the 80s and stuff. And I said, there's an old Southern gospel song. I wonder if the angels could use another singer. Now, most of you probably never heard this song. It's an old Southern gospel song. And I said, I bet he's up in glory singing. He's already in a choir up there singing, but she's going through a difficult time. Her dad was in his early 90s and been living with him for several years. And so I appreciate your prayers for my brother Wes and sister-in-law Vicki and Clarence's wife as well. Appreciate that. We started last week on a series called Keeping the Change. And what does it really mean, the idea of bringing about change in our life? And we looked at a song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, No Turning Back, No Turning Back. I had said that a lot of times Christians will move away, they pass away, but all too often Christians just kind of fade away. We drift away if we're not careful in our Christian life. So we're going to talk about keeping the change. And last week we looked at a story where three disciples came to Jesus in Luke chapter 9 and said, we're going to follow you with all our heart and all our life. But Jesus said, it's not necessarily going to be easy. The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head, and we don't hear from that guy anymore. Another one said, I want to follow you, but you know, I need to go back home and bury my dad. Another one said, you know, I've got family responsibilities I've got to take care of. And so there were some changes that they were dealing with, and they just kind of drifted to do their own thing. Today we're going to look at a story in Numbers chapter 14. But I just want you to consider, what is it in your life that you need to bring about change? Many times we started a budget, right? We get on a budget and say, we're going to control our finances, but do we keep the change? A lot of people have started a diet, but do they continue eating right? Or we start an exercise plan, or we start attending church, or we start going to midweek Bible study and building relationships, or we start reading our Bible or serving in a ministry, or we start giving financially, and we hear people say, well, I used to do that. I used to be involved in these areas. I used to sing in the choir. I used to teach the children. And I said that only about 8% of people that try to bring about change actually follow through. Last week after the services, we talked about keeping the change. One of the guys in the our church came by and he gave me 3 quarters. And he said, Pastor, keep the change. And it reminded me of a little story about a family went to church one Sunday. And the little boy was watching his parents when the offering plate passed. The mom dropped in $1 in the offering plate. The dad dropped in $1 in the offering plate. And he was kind of paying attention to what was going on. And after church, the parents began complaining. You know, the music was too loud, the auditorium was too hot, the coffee was too cold, the sermon was too long, and you know, just began complaining about different things. And the little boy looked up at his parents and said, well, what do you expect for a dollar? You know, you don't get that much out of a dollar. So Doug, thanks for the change the other day, so just reminding me about that. But here's the reality. We want to change, and we try to change in our life, right? But do we keep the change? If there's a man that puts his hand to the plow and he starts looking back, God said he's not fit for the kingdom of God. He's not going to be effective in God's kingdom. So what is it that God wants to produce in our life? Something he wants out of our life or something that he wants to put into our life so we can change. Today we're going to talk about the change in the nation of Israel. And we're going to look at this story here in Numbers chapter 14. We'll come back to looking at several verses here, but I want to kind of revisit earlier in this story in the book of Exodus. I have some verses on the screen behind me here. And so Exodus chapter 3, verse 8 says this, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." So God is talking to Moses here. "And to bring them up out of the land unto a good land." Notice that when God is talking to Moses, and we actually dealt with this passage recently, he said, "I want you to go and get the people of Israel out of Egypt, and I want you to take them into a better land, the promised land." And as we look at this story, it really lays out a good example of what the Christian life is to be like. You may recall about the Passover in Exodus 12. There were a lot of things that God had to do to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And he told the nation of Israel, if you take a lamb and slaughter it and place the blood over that doorpost, when the angel passes over, your oldest child, the firstborn, will not die. But if you don't have that blood applied, the oldest son was going to die. A picture of the lamb that was going to come when Jesus came. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You see, Passover is a picture of our salvation. And then they were kicked out of Egypt. And if you recall, they made it to the Red Sea. And at the point of the Red Sea, God parted the waters and they went through it. And the New Testament even says, as they were baptized in the cloud, as they went through the Red Sea, the Red Sea is a picture of baptism. We get saved and then we follow in baptism. If you haven't been baptized, the first Sunday in November, it's when we celebrate our 26th anniversary, we're going to have a baptismal service. Please let us know, because it'll be a great day for you to follow the Lord in baptism. So they went through the cloud, a picture of baptism, and then they complained about food, and so God dropped some food down from heaven called manna, and in the New Testament, he talks about that heavenly bread and relates it to communion or the Lord's Supper. After we get saved, we get baptized, we observe the Lord's Supper, and then they end up at this place called Kadesh Barnea, where they were to go into the promised land, and that's the story we're going to pick up in a few minutes. But the promised land, as they enter into the promised land, is a picture of the victorious Christian life. How Christians can really follow after Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. How can we keep our eyes on Jesus? That's what I want us to talk about. How can we keep this change? And Jesus said to Moses, or I'm sure it was Jesus, but at least we see in Exodus, God, the Father is talking. We see that Moses is told to bring them out of Egypt and take them into the promised land. You see, the Christian life is not just about what we shouldn't do, but it's just as much about what we should do. The way we change in the Christian life, we put off the old man and we put on the new man. There are some things we need to remove out of our life, and there's things we need to put into our life. We cannot live in a vacuum in our Christian life. And so he says, I want you to leave Egypt, but I have a better place for you to go into. I want you to leave the things of this world, but I have a victorious life for you to be an overcomer in. And that's the path that God wants. Later in Exodus chapter 23, the Bible says this, "And I will not drive them out from before thee, in 1 year." He said, when you go into the promised land, I'm not going to do it very quickly, not in 1 year. "Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee." But he says in verse 30, "But by little and little I will drive them out before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land." He promised them that they were going to be victorious in the promised land. But he told them, when you go in, it's not going to be easy. You're going to take this land little by little, because if I give it all to you, and you just take it over and we remove all of the Canaanites, the different ites that are going to be there, the land is going to be void, and then all the animals are going to take over, the weeds are going to take over. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to win this battle little by little. This is a great principle in the Christian life. we do not change that quickly, normally. There are times that God radically moves in our life. Maybe we come down to the altar and we pray, and God removes something out of our life or He places something into our life and we change. And those are miraculous, wonderful times when God is at work. But normally that's not how God works, is it? He works little by little. I would like to be changed more than I am, but the reality is we change little by little. You see, it's the little steps that will lead to change. I remember years ago, I don't even think we had any of the buildings here, but I was building the church, and the church was growing, and so was I. That's what my pastor, Steve Reynolds, has to say. He said, the church began to grow, and I began to grow, and I began to grow, and I had this suit, this olive suit, a really nice suit, that for some reason I couldn't fit into anymore. I asked Paul, are you washing this thing differently or something? You know, I don't know what was going on or whatever. I couldn't fit into that suit any longer. And so I did something to get into that suit. I even went to the church a couple weeks later and said, I fit into the suit again. It was great. It was called the cabbage diet. You could eat all the cabbage you want. And I lost enough weight to get into the suit. But the reality is, losing weight isn't the big issue, is it? It's keeping the weight off, isn't it? So I lost the weight. I went back to eating the way I was eating. And guess what? Then I couldn't fit in that suit any longer again. You see, those big changes, if I can just get on this diet, if I can just go to this fad, if I can just take this pill or whatever the case would be, if I make this big change, but then so often we go back in a regular lifestyle, we end up even worse situation, right? We get on a budget and we say, we are not going to spend any money at all. I mean, we're on this budget. We're not going to spend anything. And then Christmas hits or birthday hits, and so it just blows the budget and you just go back to regular living. You see, you try to make these drastic changes in life, and rarely is that effective. What we say we're going to exercise at the beginning of the year, what happens? It doesn't take over. And I tell you, many of you know that I have lost 60 pounds over the last couple years. And here is the change I made. It was little by little. I was mentored, and here's the first thing I did. And I tell you, the biggest change I made, it was unbelievable. Somebody encouraged me to stop drinking Diet Coke and start drinking water. Now, that's crazy. Diet Coke, that's got to be good for you, right? It says diet right in the name. And I stopped drinking soda, and I started drinking water. And I tell you, many things just began to change. I'd read this phrase, the salad is the main course. I tell you, my wife says, Tim, you have changed. Because, you know, I always expected a meat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, basically, right? I'd eat a big breakfast and I'd say, hey, what are we having for lunch? What do you mean a salad? That's, you know, but what are we eating, you know? And so, but I read this phrase, the salad is the main course. And so I still love to eat pizza. I tell you, I could eat a whole pizza. I mean, that was my problem. I would eat a whole pizza, or at least, you know, half the pizza or something. And I still eat pizza, but I tell you, here's the change I made. I decided I'll eat a big salad, try to get the nutrition stuff, and then I would eat some pizza just for my own personal lust, you know, my God is my belly kind of thing, and got that pizza. And so, hey, I was satisfied, and I didn't have to eat the whole pizza. I could eat one slice, two slice, Dave, don't listen to this, or three pieces maybe sometimes still. But I tell you, I wasn't eating five or six, seven, eight slices of pizza. I just started eating a salad. I love ice cream. But instead of eating ice cream after lunch and dinner, I always thought about it'd be a good idea for breakfast, you know, bacon a la mode or something, but I didn't do that. And I said, I'm going to eat a piece of dark chocolate, or I'm going to eat a little bit of yogurt or something along those lines. I'd eat a bigger breakfast and a lunch and a smaller dinner. I just started making small changes. Man, I tell you, I have not gone hungry. I haven't made any radical changes in my life. If I want to go out to eat, I can go out to eat. I can do those things. But I just started making simple changes, little by little. And if we can start making little changes, here's something else I did. I started working out 10 minutes a day. I was doing 1 minute exercises, 10 different ones for 10 minutes. And so I would get up there, I'd do a 2 minute warm up, and I would start the first minute, and I'm pouring down sweat, and I'm thinking, there's no way in the world I can get to 10 minutes, and I couldn't. And I'd do 5 or 6 minutes, I'd turn my video off and say, okay, I did my best. And then I was able to get to 7 or 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or whatever, you know, I felt like I should be able to do at that time. But here's the changes that I made. It happened little by little. The cabbage diet, I lost the weight, and I came right back to where I was. But I just began making small changes in exercising and drinking water and eating right and making those kind of changes. Same thing is true with our finances if we can start making those changes little by little. So let's look at Numbers 14 this morning. The nation of Israel was in Egypt, a picture of the worldly way of living where there was idolatry and ungodly living. And God said, Moses, and go get them out. I want to take them out of Egypt, and I want them to go into the promised land. They're going to go through the Red Sea, a picture of baptism. I'm going to provide manna, a picture of the Lord's Supper, and I want them to be victorious as they go into the promised land. But before they went into the promised land, they were up on this mount. They were looking down into the promised land. The place was called Kadesh Barnea. If you study the Old Testament, it's a very important place because of what happens in this story here. And they were about to go into the promised land. And Moses sends in 12 people from the different tribes. They were called the 12 spies that went in. Figure out how we can win this battle. Figure out what the answer is for us to go in, because God called us to go out of Egypt and into Israel, into the promised land. What is it that you need to do to succeed in the land? And in Numbers chapter 14, look at verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? Here's the way they're responding. To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children may be prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Now, that's sort of the way we respond as Christians at times if we're not careful. We're right on the brink of doing what God wants us to do, but they look at the promised land, and it was a beautiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The fruit was awesome there. This was a great place to live. But he said, it's going to be too hard. And they looked back at Moses and said, it would have been better off if we'd have just died in the desert. Let's just go back to Egypt. Have you ever felt like that as a Christian? You know, you're growing in your Christian life. You get saved. God begins changing your life. Old things are kind of different. You grow in your Christian life. You know you need to get baptized. You're active in church trying to do the right kind of things. And then there's a Christian that has a bad attitude. And you realize not everybody's excited as you are in the things of God. Then you hit some difficult circumstances in life. Maybe it's on the job, the community, your family, or whatever, and you thought, you know, we were singing a song a little while ago, Believe on Jesus and All Will Be Well. And I thought, that's not always the case, is it? All will be well. It's not always well. I mean, sometimes life is pretty difficult. We get the doctor's report that's not very good. We go through the work situation, financial situation, relationship issues, all kind of things. We can go up and down emotionally in our life. It's not always easy just because we're following Jesus. And it gets kind of hard. And we say, let's just go back to the old ways. That's what the nation of Israel said. You know what? It's easier just to sleep in on Sundays than to go to church. It's not easy to get to Bible study, to get up a few minutes early and try to read your Bible and spend some time in prayer, to live the right kind of life. It's not always easy to live that kind of life. Let's just return to Egypt. Now, so what I would like to do is just to look at a couple chapters here that led up. Why in chapter 14 did the nation of Israel say, I don't want to keep the change, I want to go back to the old way? What was it that was in the life of these people, this nation, that caused them to want to return? Because we don't want that in our life. We want to keep the change. We want to keep moving on. We want to be successful in our Christian life. So let me just look at a couple things. The first is in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11, verse 1, if you want to turn there, also have it on the screen behind us. Here's what verse 1 says. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. The first problem is that these people started looking back. Remember last week we said if you look back, you'll turn back? They started looking back at the way it was in the past. And they're complaining about the circumstances. They don't like what's going on right now. They're complaining. They're criticizing God, criticizing the leader, criticizing the situation. They begin complaining, and they say this in verse 5. Incredible verse. Look at what it says. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Now, look at that word freely for a second, and tell me, what were these people when they were in Egypt? Were they free? They were slaves, weren't they? They remembered the good parts. Hey, we had fish. They're over here. They're getting ready to go to going to the Promised Land from Kadesh Barnea, and they're on that track. Why do they start to turn back? Let's go back to Egypt. Because they remembered the good old days. And they don't like all the situations right now. It's not always easy living the Christian life. And they said, let's go back to Egypt because we could eat fish freely. Remember the melons and the garlic and all the fish? They just fed us when we were back there. But they were slaves. They were caught up in that environment. And sometimes we look back, oh man, you remember the good old days? Remember when we were involved in these things? Also remember the loneliness. Remember how frail those relationships really are and how empty our lives are when we're in those kind of lifestyles. They start looking back. Hey, we were eating these things freely. They forgot about the problems. Look at verse 6. But now our soul is dried up. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. I got up early this morning and I was reading what my favorite commentary, the author Warren Wiersbe, said about this phrase. He said basically what they were saying is the manna, the food that God was providing. Remember, when they were hungry, they began complaining. We don't have anything to eat. And God said, I've got a plan for you. Every morning, I'm going to drop down from heaven this stuff that's called, what is it? That's what manna means. What is it? They looked at it like, what is this? They've never seen that before. That's what the word manna means. What is it? And so every day, they could go out in the morning, and they could take that food. They would grind it up and make different foods. They would do different things with it, but it was the same manna every day, and they really got kind of tired of it. Could you imagine eating the same food every day? And they said, that food is good for nothing. That's what God provided, but I don't like what God provided. I want something else. I want more than what God provided. I don't like what God's given to me. I want more. And they start complaining. It's good for nothing. They're just mocking what God had provided. Now, my guess is there's times in our life, and we can kind of understand, you're living on a budget. You like to not live on a budget. There are limitations in our life. We like to not have any limitations in our life. We like to do whatever. But complaining about what God is providing it's not just being upset at the circumstances, but it's saying, God, you are providing something that's good for nothing. It's nothing at all. And so they start looking back. They have ingratitude. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. We become weary. That's an attitude. You ever feel weary? I mean, there's times I feel weary. Man, it's just, it's not easy. In the roles and responsibilities that you have, you get up early, you work late, you take care of these things. Maybe you don't get the thank yous from your family or your boss or whatever the case might be. You're doing all these things, and sometimes we get weary, right? Man, it's just not so easy, and we get weary. That's the attitude. Don't get weary, and then the action is fainting. What causes us to turn back? It starts with that attitude. They look back because they weren't content. They began complaining about the circumstances, so they started looking back. They're not keeping the change. Secondly, we're going to look at chapter 13 here. So first of all, they're complaining, and therefore they start looking back. In chapter 13, we're going to see that they fail to move ahead. In chapter 13 is where it's talking about this place called Kadesh Barnea. I want to read these verses to you, starting in verse 27. So Numbers 13, verse 27. They had gone into the promised land, the 12 spies. They come out to give a report. Here's what they're telling Moses, okay? Verse 27. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of, they had large grapes. I mean, the grapes were so large. It was called the grapes of Eskel because there were such incredible clusters of grapes here. Look at all the fruit we have. Verse 28. But notice what they say. But. It's awesome. But. You know, have you ever heard somebody say, man, I really appreciate you, but. Or, you know, someone, Pastor, that was a great sermon, but, okay, I don't hear the great sermon anymore here. You know, I'm just, okay, ready, right? When somebody says something and they add but, you know, it doesn't really help. That's what they say. It is an awesome place, but nevertheless, verse 28, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, the children of Anak are there. The giants are there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites that dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. See, they're kind of upset here. They're kind of turning into a mob. Yeah, we can't go in. We can't do it. And Caleb said, we can do it. And Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once. Let's do it right now. We don't want to wait. Let's do it in God's timing. This is what God wants us to do. We can possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they're stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched, unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. You see, they're poetically making it much worse. We go in there, the land is just going to devour us. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And notice this, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. First, they started looking back. The second thing that happens, they stopped moving ahead. The reality is, we will change in our life. Nothing stays stagnant. You cannot just stay where you are in the Christian life. You're either going to move ahead in the Christian life, or you're going to move down. Rarely, health-wise, financially-wise, Are we going to stay the same? We change in our life. We can't live in a vacuum. You can't put off the wrong living and not put on the right living. Say, I'm not going to do this anymore. You've got to add something, because that vacuum, you're just going to move right back into the old patterns. You've always got to be moving in the Christian life. And if you're not moving ahead, you're going to be moving back. We get complacent. We remain at the same level. And they quit moving ahead. You see, it is awesome that 20 years ago that God saved you and your life was radically changed. But what is God doing in your life right now? We've got to continue moving ahead today. This is a land that flows with milk and honey. But, and Caleb said, no, guys, we can go in. There were only two out of the 12, Joshua and Caleb, that gave a good report. They said, we can do this, guys. We can go in. With God, all things are possible. He told us we're going to get out of Egypt, and that's why it's called the Promised Land. It's a land that God made a promise that they were going to be able to possess this land. We can do it. We are well able to do it. But the majority didn't believe that. We are not able. I mean, there's great walls that are built. There's great giants that are there. The circumstances around us are too tough. Look, the forests are going to eat us up. And we can't go through those desert areas there. We're not able to do this. Caleb tried to still them. We can do this. We can get through this situation. I got a little quote for you. Henry Ford said this: whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you are right. You ever heard that before? It's a phrase I learned back in college. Whether you think you can or can't, you're right. If you say we're not able, you're probably not. You know, and the sports team said, we're going to lose this one bad. You're probably going to lose, right? I mean, you may lose even if you say, we're going to go in and we think we can win it. But if you know you're going to lose, you're going to lose more than likely. Oh, man, I can't do this in my Christian life. Well, you're probably not. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't. Henry Ford said, you're right. Now, look again at verse 33. Last verse in chapter 13. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. Notice this. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. When we looked at the giants and we looked in the mirror back at ourselves, we looked like little grasshoppers that the giants could just step on and crush us. But it gets even worse. Look at what the rest of the verse says. And so we were in their sight. The reality is, when the enemy comes against us, if they sense a lack of confidence, if we're not confident in our identity in Christ, who we are, if we feel we're grasshoppers, they're going to treat us like grasshoppers, right? And then you find somebody who kind of walks in a room with their head down and shoulders kind of shrugged. They don't give anybody eye contact. And they're just like, yeah, I'm dumb. I'm stupid. Nobody's going to like me. And guess what? There are people around you, because of the evilness of man's heart, that are going to mistreat somebody like that. If you view yourself as a grasshopper, people are going to treat you like a grasshopper. Yeah, I don't deserve good treatment. I don't have much value. I'm not that important. But if you can view yourself as God views you, there's a world of difference, isn't it? They viewed themselves as grasshoppers, and so they were viewed by the giants as that. Now, they were spies. As far as I know, the spies didn't even know they were there. This had nothing to do with the other people, but it was their perspective of the other people. You see what's going on? That's the way they're going to view us. But my guess is they're spies, and they're roaming around. These people didn't even know anything about them, but that's what they thought they were going to view. See, it's not just the view of ourselves, but it's the way we view other people of their view of us. That sounds kind of crazy, I know, but it's not necessarily what somebody else is thinking, but it's what you think they're thinking. Have you ever gotten an argument with your spouse and you know what they're thinking? They have no idea what they're even thinking, you know, but you said, I know why you said that. You said that because of what happened 5 years. What are you talking? I wasn't thinking about it. I know what's in your heart, you know. We go back and forth and those kind of things. That's what's going on. We view ourselves as grasshoppers. And so we think other people are going to view us as grasshoppers. So we just go hopping along and get stomped on. God had promised them that I'm going to take you out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. But they viewed themselves as grasshoppers, and they didn't go in. They stopped. They stopped moving ahead. Now look at chapter 14. Now we see that they turn back. Verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. We're not going to be able to accomplish what God wanted to in our life. They begin weeping. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. That's a good prayer, isn't it? I wish I was dead. You think that's kind of ridiculous. We're not going to go into the promised land because these guys are going to kill us. Oh, man, I just wish I were dead. As Bob Goff, the guy that wrote the book Love Does, he said, I may fail trying, but at least I'm going to try. The greatest failures of our life are not when we try and we don't succeed, but it's because we do not try at all. Let me tell you this. In Babe Ruth, I never struck out, never had an error. I never had one problem in Babe Ruth. Do you know why? Because when I finished Little League, I got a ball square in my eyes. This baseball was thrown straight at me. I missed it. It hit me in the nose, knocked me out. And so when it came time to go to Babe Ruth, I said, I don't think I'm going to play. My mom said, you going to play baseball, Tim? I said, nah, don't feel like it. You know why? Because I was afraid. I was scared. Never had any negatives. You know why? Because I didn't play. That's the fail, isn't it? It's not that you've tried something and didn't succeed. It's that you didn't try in the first place. We're not going to go in because it's too tough. They begin criticizing the people. They murmur against Moses. Moses, how could you let us out? I mean, they complained about their leaders all the time. When Moses went into the promised land, he said, guys, I'm going to get you out. That's great. That's wonderful. And then Pharaoh said, I'm going to double your work. I'm going to make it much more difficult. Moses, what kind of jerk are you to make our work even harder? And through all of the years, even throughout the 40 years of the wilderness, guess what they did? They complained about their leaders. They kept complaining and complaining. They didn't like the circumstances, didn't like the people. Moses, he got so frustrated, he said, I didn't birth these people. What in the world? They're not my babies. They're acting like my babies. You got me into this, God. Everybody's complaining. There were times Moses said, God, just go ahead and kill them. And God said, I'm not going to kill them. I can't say. Maybe I felt that way with a few of you sometime, but you know, I can't admit, you can't pray that prayer in the New Testament. So, and there were times God said this, Moses, I got you, bro. I understand. Let me kill them. And Moses said, no, you can't kill them. You can't. I love these people. I mean, they're awesome. That's wonderful. Somebody said, what if God and Moses had ever gotten together? That'd have been a pretty bad sight, wouldn't it? But they're complaining about their leaders. And look at verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land? By the way, I do have a touch of ADD, so I'm thinking here, when I get home, my wife's going to say, did you really say that? And now you're thinking, he's talking about me, I think. You know, so forget that statement, okay? All right, let's go on. Look at verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And then look at verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Let's get rid of Moses and we're just going to do our own thing. They want to return. They left Egypt. They made a 180, said, we're headed to the promised land. But after a little while, they made a 360. They turned all the way around. They said, we want to go back. We're going to go back where we can eat fish freely. You know, you can't go back in life, right? You remember that church that you were in several years ago, a great, awesome church, and because of your job or whatever, you've moved to different areas, and you think, if I could just find a church like that church, even if you went back there today, that church is going to be different, isn't it? I mean, you can't go back in life. You've always got to be moving ahead. Don't look back. Don't become complacent where you are and stay where you are. And definitely don't turn back. I mean, we don't like change, but change is a part of life. I mean, it happens to us. And God said, I'm kind of upset with this nation. The only ones that are going to go in are Joshua and Caleb. Now look at the verses on the screen behind me. Here's why Joshua was able to go into the promised land. Joshua 14 verse 6 says this. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. He's going back to where we just were discussing. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again. It was in my heart. Remember what he said. We can go in and do this. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Then notice verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be in thine inheritance, and the children and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. See, here's the key in the Christian life. We've got to wholly follow the Lord our God. We can't look back. We can't get complacent and just stay where we are. We've got to continue moving ahead, because if you look back, you're going to turn back. If you put your hand on the plow and you look back, you're going to get off course. Hey, let's not look back. You make a friend on Facebook that you had back in high school and remember the great times that you had. Hey, maybe we could get caught back up in those ways. Don't do it. Don't do it. You have some friends at work say, hey, you know, it's no big deal. Just come out and hang out with us. And you know that you've done that before and you don't need to go down that path again. Don't look back. Keep moving ahead. You say, man, I don't really feel like getting up on Sunday. I think I'm going to just sleep in. Don't do it. Just keep moving ahead. Keep doing the right thing. Whether it be the budget, whether it be exercise, whether it be eating right, whether it be spiritual disciplines in our life, we've got to keep moving ahead. In a couple weeks, Choice will be 26 years old. Paul and I have talked, you know, there's going to be a day that I won't be the pastor here any longer, whether it be health reasons or retirement. Or whatever God has in store, one day I won't be here. And normally when you have a founding pastor that's been somewhere for a long time, the next pastor comes in and people kind of struggle with that. And I personally believe that's not going to happen here. And this is why. Because for 26 years, we have made changes. I mean, some changes, I don't like change. I mean, I really don't like change. I like things just as they are. But the reality is life changes, right? The only thing in life that doesn't change is idea, everything changes. I don't know if I said that right or not, but you know what I mean? Life changes, doesn't it? And for 26 years, we've just tried to follow the leadership of God. And there are times our programs have changed. We said, man, we have this program. It's been a great program, but it's not working any longer. Let's not do that program any longer. We got some new ministries. Let's go out and bring about change. We got some music style changes. Well, when we got started, I was a very traditional guy. I said, guys, you got to wear a jacket and a tie if you're going to teach around here. Now, we wouldn't have any teachers today if we had that expectation, right? So I just wear a shirt at least, okay? Wear something. You know, it's pretty good idea here. I wear flip-flops. I don't like them, but all right. I don't know if there's a verse that says, thou shalt not flip-flop, so I'm not going to get all bent up about it or whatever. But, you know, we've made changes for 26 years, and guess what? We're going to continue to make changes, and older I get, the tougher changes will be, I'm sure, and I'm going to look back and think, you know, like Pastor Steve was talking about the hymn songs, why aren't we doing more hymn songs, or why aren't we doing this or that or whatever the case might be? And, you know, not long ago, Pastor Steve said, we're going to do, on Wednesday night, they said, pick a hymn song, Pastor Steve, because Wednesday night, it's our younger guys that lead the music. And they said, Pastor Steve, would you play a hymn song? And he did a song from the 70s. And I was like, that's really funny, because I grew up in church in the 70s, and that wasn't a hymn song. That was the progressive song. That was a song our church said, we don't do those kind of songs. You know, we do hymn songs. And he did that song, and I was like, it's funny. Life just goes on, doesn't it? And we can try to hold on to the past, and we can try to, you know, well, I sure do love the way it used to be. We're not there anymore. We're today. Let's do what God's calling us to do today in your family, in our church, in our community. Hey, life changes, and there are things we better hold on to. Because we're living in a very progressive age of a lot of different perversions, different ideas, and we're going to hold on to historic biblical teaching and the orthodox things of God's Word. The message is not going to change, but I tell you, whether we meet in a gymnasium, whether we have a steeple on a building, whether we have stained glass, or whether we have lights go on, or whatever the case would be, those aren't the issues. Are we going to move into the promised land? Are we going to accomplish what God has called us to do? You see, that's what we're doing. We've got to just keep moving ahead and moving ahead. Josh enjoyed our discussion yesterday. We talked about missions. And the reality is, the way missions is going to be done in the future is not the same way we've done missions in the past. And I'm excited as a church. We have people going out of our church and going to other churches and doing ministry. And at the end of the year, Pastor Jeff's going out. But we don't like those changes, right? Yeah, let's talk about that change a little bit, right? So let's get on that. He's going back to Egypt or something. I'm not sure what he's doing. But no, if you don't know, Pastor Jeff, our family pastor, has been praying about it, and then he preached the first message of January this year, and our theme is choice leaving the building. And one of the reasons for that theme is because he said, you know, this year God's calling me to do something, whether I go and pastor or do evangelism, but I know that I've got to step down, I've got to put off my role here at Choice so I can put on what God's doing in my family's life. We say, we don't like those changes, but you know what? Life changes. Things go on. We move ahead. And we turn our eyes on Jesus because you know what? You start looking at circumstances, you're going to go back. You start looking at people, you're going to get discouraged. And so we just keep our eyes on Jesus, and he made the promise. He's going to take us into the promised land. He's the answer to our life. If you're trying to lose weight, just do it little by little. And keep looking ahead, he's going to have. You're trying to get your finances back in order, just start making some small changes. Let me say this. If you're having financial trouble, first change I would make is start giving to God first. If you want your finances to be in order, ask God to bless your finances. And the first way to do that is to give generously. No amens on that? I would like a little bit there. Somebody believe that? Give and it shall be given, right? If you need some spiritual disciplines in your life, just start doing little by little. See, I'm going to get up 3 minutes early, and I'm going to read a one verse from the book of Proverbs, and you can start reading a whole chapter, and maybe you get to several chapters. You spend 1 minute in prayer and just start thanking God. Then you get to 5 minutes and pray a little bit longer. Just do it little by little. You're not faithful in church, just say, I'm going to start being faithful to church on Sundays. You're faithful on Sundays, say, you know what, I'm going to get involved in a midweek Bible study. This Wednesday nights around here is a great place. 7 o'clock, kids Awana. The teens have an awesome class from 7 to 8:30. Adults, we break up in different Bible studies and get connected. But just keep moving ahead in your Christian life. But let's not turn back. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's pray. As the team comes up, just want to ask you, how can you become more like Jesus? Is there something that God is doing in your life right now? How can you as a family serve God more consistently? What about at our church? What can we do? To make an impact on the kingdom of God. Whether it be reaching people around here. Say, well, we've never done that before. That's okay. Things change, right? Whether that be missions around the world. You come and ask God to guide you. Dear Father, please bless during this invitation. Lord, do a work in my life. Give me a fresh vision for what you're calling me to do. Lord, I pray for all those in attendance here today. Help us to step ahead to make the changes that you want in our life. Lord, here we are. Guide us little by little. Lord, we make ourselves available. Help us not to look back. Help us not to complain. Help us not to become complacent. But just to follow you. Lord, here we are. Lead us. I pray for those that need to follow in baptism, that you would guide them, church membership, faithful attendance, getting connected with other believers, their personal devotions, areas of giving or serving. Lord, here we are. Guide us to be overcomers for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.